I'd like for you to open up to a chapter that we haven't taught out of. Nobody at the prayer center has taught out of in years. Let's see, it'd be 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I've been loving all the teaching that I've been hearing Alan and Mark do in those chapters and finding the mind of Christ. And I want to come at it from an engineer's point of view tonight. I like all of the scientific detail workings of all that. But when it comes right down to it, how does it affect your life? See, finding the mind of Christ, having the mind of Christ. And I'm going to use this, my most recent adventure. How's that for a word? Because I did find the mind of Christ. I found out the plan. And really, as I was going through it, as I was thinking about it even this afternoon, you know, it's not much different from every other time that I've asked him for his wisdom, asked him for his plan. Or you could say to find the mind of Christ, okay? And I thank God again for the time praying in other tongues. I don't know how much was involved in getting his answer to me in a way that I could comprehend it. But he did. Now, for benefit, people that may not have heard this morning's message, the last time I stood in the pulpit here at the prayer center was July 15th. And the reason for that is the Lord healed me when I did not know I was even sick. I'm going to really synopsize from this morning's message. So if you want details, go to that one. How this occurred, ever since I stopped driving the trucks for all these years, and that was 1994, I would have these little sores on the left side of my face that would appear just now and then. They weren't very big, or they weren't scary. They were about a little bit bigger than pimples maybe. And maybe two would occur, and I'd put lotion or salve on them, you know, and in a day or two they'd be gone. But they'd just keep coming back. It would just never completely go away. Didn't really scare me or anything, but I noticed it was always on the left side, never on the right side. And I never really formally prayed about it, I don't think. But, you ever talk to the Lord in your heart? I would think, you know, I'd say, Lord, what is this? You know, just how come this keeps coming back, you know? I never did hear an answer. Well, long story short now, get this morning's message. I was taking my mom to the doctor because she had a place on her nose that they had done a biopsy on that came back as being basal cell carcinoma. It was cancer. And so they recommended her to a specialist. I took her to him, and they ran a test on her nose, the little thing on her nose there. And he said, ma'am, I think when they did the biopsy, I think that was so small, I think they got it all then. My mom says, well, how can we know for sure? So he said, well, it's expensive, but I could prescribe this cream that you can put on that spot, and if it is cancer, then it will erupt. You'll have a reaction. You know, if it's not cancer, then nothing will happen, no harm done. Well, again, leaving out a lot of details, we got the cream for her. She used it for like 3 days, and nothing happened. And she had noticed these little spots on my face, you know. She said, why don't you try this cream on there? Now, again, I don't care if you are 65 and have a worldwide ministry. When your 91-year-old mother says, do something, the only answer is, yes, ma'am. So I put it on those spots. Now, again, he said, now, if it's not cancer, you'll have no reaction. If it is cancer, you'll have a reaction. Did I have a reaction? at first, those few little spots, they erupted. And then as I kept trying that cream a little farther out, come to find out, the left side of my face, right under the skin, had this. These are all basal cell carcinomas. There's dozens of them. And apparently they had been there since 1994, because that's when I quit driving the trucks. It took me a while to figure. I put the cream on the right side of my face, no reaction whatsoever. So it took a while for me to figure out why it was only on the left side of my face. And then as I got to remembering, well, you know, driving those trucks, the windshield is tinted, so you have some protection coming through the windshield. But I'm always sitting there for years with my head, my left side of my face, exposed to the window right there. The trucks I drove are not air-conditioned or anything, so the window was nearly always down. And I can remember driving across the Mojave Desert time after time, going to California, and that sun just baking my face, you know. And I remember I would hold my hand up trying to provide some protection. Apparently, it was not enough. And the sun, over that period of years, just cooked my face. And that damage had been there. What's amazing to me is that it laid there kind of dormant under the skin, but it was there for 18 years. Well, now all of a sudden, I kind of got into this by accident, you know. All I did was obey my mama. I didn't even see the doctor myself or anything. And now I've got this, wow, I mean, the whole left side of my face is just covered with this stuff. And it got pretty bad. It got, in these pictures, probably the worst one is this one, where it's really black around my left eye. And if you felt of it at the time, it didn't even feel human. I mean, it felt like if the fair had been going on, I could have made money as the alligator man, you know. I mean, it was really, really crusty. It got a little scary. And then, even after that picture, what began to happen, even though I never put it, of course, on my eye, they say to keep it out of your eye, but it's like that whatever's in that salve, it went on a search and destroy mission. And they saw me during this time. The scabs formed all the way around my left eye completely. It would just constantly weep. And so you're trying to talk to me, you know, I'm sitting there with my handkerchief up to my eye. And then, of course, always looking out of this eye, it got strained, and so it would water. It got a little scary. You know, I don't care who you are, thoughts go through your head. Maybe this isn't just basal cell carcinoma. And you get on, you know, I don't really recommend getting online during those times. It doesn't help. You know, something called ocular melanoma, you know. Great, you know. I said, now I reject that in Jesus' name. Now, the only reason I'm saying, I just want you to understand, it got kind of bad, got a little scary. I don't care who you are, thoughts go through your head. And with all that in mind, now let's talk about the mind of Christ. Because I had asked him, it was something that would, every now and then, I would just commune in my heart with the Lord, what is this? What is the answer? You know? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's talk about the mind of Christ. Just so amazing to me that Mark did exactly these same verses today. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting verse 7, right where he started. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, and boy, I have been at this church where, you know, I want you to know, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Usually they'll stop right there. They'll take Romans, was it 8:27 or 28, where it says all things work together for good. So see there, that cancer is God's working out everything for your life, you know. They don't go on to, I don't know why in the world you don't go on and read the good news. See, that is talking about the natural man. The man that has the spirit of the world on the inside of him. He cannot know the things of God. But verse 10 now, he starts talking about us. But God has revealed them unto us by his spirit. For the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. By the way, that should be little s in both places. The Holy Spirit isn't searching out the things of God. The Holy Spirit is God. You got that? I want to go see what God thinks. Wait a minute. I am God. It's a little s. It's that spirit that he's given you when you get born again. The spirit which is of God. That spirit, that rascal, is the one that needs to know all the answers and then pass that information over to your natural mind. So verse 10, when it says God hath revealed them unto us by his spirit. Well, that's that little s. That's the spirit that he gave us that now has the capacity, through the help of the Holy Ghost, to search out the deep things of God and find God's plan for your life. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit which is of God, should be little s again. Now, verse 12, now that we're born again, now we have received. They got it right in this verse. Not the spirit of the world. See how they got that little s? That's correct. That's the new nature that you received when you were born again. When you were born of your mother's womb, you received the spirit of the world, or you could say the spirit of Adam, that fallen nature. That fallen nature has no capacity to know God. In fact, a little further down here, it says it can't know these things. It can't know them. These things, the real things of God, are not mentally learned first. They are spiritually learned. The Holy Spirit comparing spiritual with spiritual. God gave Dave the parable of the duck. Y'all remember Chuck the duck? I'm not going to reteach that, but it's the perfect parable. And at the end of that, that other duck comes and says, look, compare yourself with me. I'm a duck, you're a duck. I have this flat bill, you have this flat bill. You're not a chicken, you're a duck. The Holy Ghost comes and says, look, you're not of Adam anymore. Look at Jesus. You see how he could walk holy? You can walk holy also. You're born of the same spirit. You see how he operated in miracles? You can operate in miracles too. You see how he forgave? You can forgive also. He comparing spiritual with spiritual, teaching you who you really are. That's good stuff right there. Glory to God. But I got ahead of myself, so let's... But now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit, little s, which is of God. Well, why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Nobody earns these things. They come by inheritance. There was one that earned them. His name is Jesus Christ. We have been made a joint heir with him. Glory to God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now here's the natural man again. This is the guy back here where eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. This is the guy. The natural man, he receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Now get this. Neither can he know them. Because they are what? Well, that's weak. For benefit of the tape, there are people here. Because they are what? Spiritually discerned. This is why so many... He was talking about mental ascent this morning. You've got to do something until this gets beyond your brain. It's got to get into your heart. And that's what I was really trying to convey this morning, is that peace that passes understanding. I've developed this, you know, over the years... And sure, the enemy would try and move me off my faith. Sure, like that's his job. His job is to move me into doubt. My job is to trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not to my own understanding. Once I find his plan, stay with his plan. And everything will work out fine. Did this time, it does every time. But in the meantime, you have a few battles to wage. Okay? So he says here, the natural... Okay, we read that verse. Verse 15... But he that is spiritual judgeth, and that would be better said, discerns all things. You have access to the knowledge of anything. You have access to God's knowledge. Why? Because you have access to God's Holy Ghost by that spirit that he placed on the inside of you. He that is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is discerned of no man. You'll do stuff. Have y'all found out your unsaved relatives think you're weird? They don't understand you. Why don't you take that guy to court? What do you mean you're going to forgive him? They cannot know these things, see? Now here's our verse. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? I don't know if y'all know this yet. Jesus is not coming trying to find out your plan. He's not coming trying to find out your plan. He's going, I wish that Mark Jenkins would just go ahead and tell me what to do. Can you just see the Lord pacing back and forth right in front of the throne up there? He says, I don't know what to do. He says, I know Mark, he has the right plan. If he would just... No, we don't instruct the Lord. The Lord instructs us. And it says, that's why it finishes, we have the mind of Christ. Now, again, go to Romans 8. There's no other place to go. Sorry, Mark, I'm plagiarizing your message, I know. Now remember that. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean his physical mind is on the inside of my brain somehow? No. By this new nature, I have access to his plans. I have access to his purposes. I can find out what his plan is for my life. So I don't have to keep wondering what the plan is. I'm going to come back to this example in just a minute. Okay. Verse 26, Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also, and it should be capital S there. It is talking about the Holy Ghost. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Now that phrase, mind of the Spirit, how would we know it? Because he's making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You could say according to God's plan, according to his plans, purposes, and pursuits for your life. The Holy Ghost, especially when you allow him to pray in other tongues, you don't know. So why does it say you can't pray? It says here, the way it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You don't know what the plan is. If you know what it is, you could pray it. But if you don't know what the plan is, how can you pray it in your known tongue? But the Holy Spirit knows the plan. And if you'll let him, he'll just pray that plan for you. And it's just as if you were praying it yourself in your known language. The perfect plan of God. Good. Now, isn't that great? We love all that. Let's get practical for a minute. Here's my dilemma. Now, see, and normally when I teach on this, I talk about how we prayed and found out God's plan for our ministry. We found out that he wanted us to give everything away free. Do I tell every other minister to give everything away free? No. I think it's fine, you know, charge a reasonable amount to cover expenses and things. But that's what he told us. See, when you find his plan, when you've prayed enough to where you start hearing his plan, that's the end of the discussion. That's what the Lord said. This is the mind of Christ. This is his will for my life. Once you find it, then your job is to do it. And the devil's job is to stop you. It's just that simple. Every circumstance you can think of will have. Now, and see, you got to be careful of religious thinking. Like in this deal. Lord, what is this? How come these little sores keep coming back all the time? Now, I am a teacher in the body of Christ. I know that Jesus heals today. I have received miraculously a new heart from him. I have received other miracles from the Lord. See, my religious mind goes, no, he'll just heal you instantly. There will be nothing to go through. Everything will be fine. Only one trouble with that, that's Gary's plan. That was Gary's plan. That's the way my mind would think. His plan was to have me go with my mama, who didn't need the cream. She had this little bitty, it's God that she even bought the stuff. Little spot on her nose about the size of a pinprick. She says, oh, yeah, it's 140, even after the insurance, is $146. Without insurance, it was $900. $146. And she says, oh, that sounded reasonable to my mother who lived through the Depression. $146, are you kidding? But she bought it. Now, that was the Lord that she bought it. She didn't know why she bought it. My mom hears God pretty good, by the way. So she bought it. And it turns out, you know, for me, when I put it on there and I saw the little reaction, how it started, I'm going, uh-oh. All of a sudden, all of the pieces of the puzzle started to fit into place, and I'm going, I think I found the mind of Christ. I think this is his plan. We're going to find out what this is. Apparently, it's cancer of some kind. Then it got... So, at that moment, it's on my lightning-quick mind that God had probably been trying to get me to do something about this a long time, and I couldn't hear him. He has got me into a plan to solve this that's been 18 years in the making. So, now my religious mind says, no, I'll just stand here and you'll heal me and it'll all be okay and I won't have to go through nothing. But God, we have the mind of Christ. God's answer, I'm holding it in my hand. It's this salve. And what I hear is, read the directions. What? Yeah, read the directions. So I start reading on there. It had four printed pages actually that came with it. Telling you all of this stuff about basal cell carcinomas and how they're not normally deadly like melanoma. But right on the other hand, they don't suggest that you don't do anything about them because over a long period of time, they can cause disfigurement and they can work on your immune system and weaken your immune system. So I'm saying, okay, this is something I need to get rid of at age 65 for sure. And I'm just reading the instructions and all it really says is that you apply it once a day for 6 weeks. That's the deal. And it warns you ahead of time. All of the symptoms that I wound up having, that you're going to have these black, crusty scabs. Gary, did that happen? Yes, it happened. That it's going to make you run a fever, a mild fever. I never dropped below 100 degrees for 6 weeks. Sometimes it'd get as high as 101 or 102, but it'd never go below 100. That makes you feel crummy. I would like a different plan. I would like instantaneous healing. And I know he can do that. And you say, well, why didn't he do that? I'm not in charge. The point I'm trying to get across to you is I'm not the Lord. Once you find his mind, his plan, that's what you do. You just do that. You don't try and talk him into some other plan. You do that and you stick with it. It started getting uncomfortable, and it mentioned that you're going to feel like you have the flu. Now, I've mentioned to some of these before the service. There's two ways that Sue can always tell if Gary's okay. You know, if I'm feeling good and everything. There's two ways you can tell if I'm not. When I say I don't want any coffee, there's something wrong, you know. And when I don't want a hamburger, anytime ever, I don't care if it's breakfast. If you ask me, you want a hamburger? And I say, no, pray for me. Because I'm exaggerating a little. But I do like hamburgers, and I like coffee. And I couldn't hardly drink any coffee during that time. And hamburger just made, I went and bought one for Sue, and the smell of it made me sick. Something's wrong. See, well, actually, something was right. Because it warned me about that. What I'm trying to tell you is that when you find the mind of Christ, even if it's something in the natural, when you find his plan, you do that. If it's moved to New Mexico, you do that. If it's moved to a different house, you do that. And you go, but Lord, the payments there stinketh. But that's where I want you to move. See, what the discussions are over when you find the mind of Christ. And we found that to be the case, whether it's healing, like in this case. And this was a natural thing. I just had to follow the simple instructions and not get scared to death. People got scared. I was doing real good not to show it, but I got to be honest with you. Thoughts would come into my head. It's, you wake up in the morning, every single night, this eye would be matted, I mean completely shut. Just, it would take me 20 minutes with a warm washcloth, just softening this, getting it to where I could even get my eye open. Then when it opened, it was not a pretty sight. It was really red and oozy and not pleasant, you know. And then people say, you need to go to the doctor. And part of me would agree with that. But the other part says, no, wait a minute, I'm already in the mind of Christ. I've already found this. That they said I would have these kind of symptoms, this just doing exactly what it said would happen. And so I would just tell my mom, and I'd tell Sue and anybody else, my Angie, and I'd say, no. I'd tell Lily, Papa, your boo-boo is bad. And I could see a little fear in her face. And I'd say, no, Papa's being healed. I know it looks fun, looks bad right now. I'm going to be okay. Don't you worry. Papa's going to be just fine. And I would just kept, and really, on the inside, I would have these little moments like that, but it was incredible, the peace. I absolutely knew that this was the mind of Christ. This was his plan. Dave had a word from the Lord, said that this would be my last battle with cancer. Well, man, coming into the revival, let's get this over with now. Let's get it over with now. I don't want to go through this then while we're revival. And the timing of the Lord was perfect. We had just finished up a real busy season of traveling ministry. And we both, Sue and I both knew not to schedule any meetings. I don't know. I mean, you know, we just like, no, we don't want to schedule any in July and August. I don't know why. Just, you know, I'm leaving Wednesday, by the way, for Canada. See the timing of the Lord? It's perfect now. I don't have to go up there and, you know, have a prayer line and they ask me to get in it. Timing of the Lord is perfect, see? Timing of the Lord. So everything worked out fine, but it was incredible, the peace that I walked in. Now, I want to tell you some more of the things that I didn't get to say this morning. The devil, if you notice in the Old Testament, sometimes one king would come out to fight against Israel. But at certain times, there would be five kings that would come out. The enemy, his job, when you're on God's plan for your life, his job is to make it look like you've missed it a mile wide, like that God has forsaken you. Because at the same time, during that same 6 weeks, our finances, we've lived so long, you know, by faith on finances that, like I say, I've learned at this stage now, when things don't look good, You know, I should be worrying, and I can't get into worry. I pinch myself. I go, shouldn't you be worrying? No, I don't. No. That same God that's delivered us about 10,000 times, I think we can count on him. He's faithful. But I got to tell you, right during the middle of this, and I double-checked today to make sure I'm not exaggerating, we went through a two-week period. We're in the mail for the worldwide ministries of Gary Carpenter Ministries Incorporated. We received in 2 weeks a $10 check and a $25 check. Now, we thank God for that $10 check and that $25 check, but it takes more than $35 every 2 weeks. So what I'm saying is, here's another king, another front where the enemy's coming, you know. During that same time period, our son-in-law Kyle was in a very serious car accident. This lady ran a red light, never hit the brake once, not one skid mark, T-boned his car perfectly, hit on the passenger side, totaled the car. Kyle is only 30 or 31, but he's suffering pain from it still. And the amazing thing is that it happened about four or five blocks from his house. He had just dropped Cole, our grandson Cole, off at the house. And Cole would have been sitting right in that passenger seat, right where the car was T-boned. You think it's scary, scary stuff. Right about the same time, really, I think it was about a week before I started the treatment, Lily was, they were all out at the lake. And I don't know exactly all the details. I know a rope somehow came loose and just peeled the hide off of her neck right here on this side. Just raw like red hamburger meat. Had it 3 or 4 inches more, could have decapitated her. So here the devil made a run at both of our youngest grandchildren right at the same time. At our house right now, we have what we call the industrial look, because our dining room table is sitting right on the concrete slab floor. We had a leak in the shower area, and so every time, you know, I didn't know that so for a while, every time I take a shower, the water's been leaking in there and soaked the carpet, got mildew and mold. The carpet had to go, and we're waiting for insurance adjusters and carpenters to come out. So right now, we have the industrial look. We've redecorated. Now, that's a minor. But when you get 4 or 5 or 6 kings all coming out at once, the enemy says, oh, you've missed it, you know, that God's forsaken you. This is it this time, buddy. You're going down this time. What is your job? Trust in. Let's get some of these scriptures from this morning again. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 again. When you I'm using this one right now to talk about a natural healing. I don't know why he chose to do it in a natural way. Maybe it's a reminder that I'm supposed to follow his instructions no matter what. Follow his instructions not only in my prayer life, not only in my fasting life. Boy, not only, but when he gives me natural instructions, it's important that I follow those too, okay? So, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, when you do find the mind of Christ in any area, when you find his plan, then you trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, his direction is what they're calling in the New Testament the mind of Christ. That's exactly what we're talking about. Back here in Proverbs, if you leave that verse in its setting, it's really talking about obeying the law. But that's all they had. All they had was the law of God. Only the king and the priest and the prophets at times would be able to directly access the Lord. But for your average Joe public, your average person, how did they get their direction? Well, you read God's law. This is how you do it. That's really all they had. But the principle expands for us. We have not only access to God's written word. You know, I've searched when I first got saved. I got Luke, Mark, John. I hunted for the book of Gary. Man, I wanted to find the book of Gary. I'd read that book of Acts, and I thought it was wonderful how how he had instructions for Paul and he had instructions for Peter. And I said, boy, that'd be great. I wish there was a book of Gary where I could just open up the book of Gary and I could find out his plan for me. Because if he had a plan for them, I figure he has to have a plan for me. And I thank God for the day that we walked through the doors of this church, because finally somebody told me, did you know that you can find that there is a plan for your life and you can have access to it? It's not a written book, but it's those very things in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. By his spirit, that new spirit that he put on the inside of you, through the help of the Holy Ghost, you can find the book of Mark, the book of Debbie, that you can't find the book of Gary for me, maybe. But I can find the book of Gary for me. You can find his plan for your life. And then the thing of it is, though, that how this principle applies. Years ago, you know, people say, I had this problem. What's your problem? I can't hear God. Okay, sit right here. Can you speak in tongues? Yes, I can speak in tongues. Okay, sit right here. Pray in tongues about so many hours a day. And if they'll do that, about 6 months down the road, they're going to come to you and say, I got a bigger problem than I had before. What's the problem you have now? Oh, I heard God, and you're not going to believe what he told me to do. And we go, yeah, we probably will too. See, the reason that's in there, lean not unto thine own understanding. Your understanding will nearly always go against God's plan. Especially when the devil starts sending all those circumstances, you know. It'll make it, his job is to make it look like, I don't know what to think about these people. It makes me wonder if they have any real experience. I hate to say it that way. Because they say, oh, if it's really God, you know. He shuts doors that no man can open, and he opens doors that no man can shut. So if it's really God, all of your circumstances will just line right up. I have not found that to be the situation. I have found to be the case that when God says, go that way, the first sound I normally hear is the devil slamming every door on that path, and I have to come along and kick them open in Jesus' name. See? Our job is to obey the Lord and lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he directs your paths. He does. And once you find it, hold on to it, boy. Again, I'm reminded right now that not only the written word, but when you start hearing from him, it can be you hear from him directly into your spirit. I love that. That's best. But there's been times when whatever it was he's trying to get across to me, for some reason, I wasn't getting it. So he has to send a word through maybe Pastor Dave. One time he sent a word to me that changed my life through my daughter Angie. Little old Angie just scared to death and just shaking in her boots and trembling. But she delivered the word of the Lord to me accurately, and it was the word of the Lord, and I repented and changed. You know? But when those words come like that, it's exactly like that example Mark gave that time, like a rope stretched here, and that represents your life. And here, every one of us is going through life down this path. We can't really see to the end of our life. So, you know, you need like a big sheet of cardboard right here. We can't see 10 years down the road, 5 years, 20 years down the road. But God, who's not limited by time, he can. So him seeing, what we call a word of prophecy, it's not really like maybe so to him. He's already there. He tells us here what's going to happen there. And we go, oh, I got a word. Yeah, a word from the Lord. So every now and then he had those red scars, you know, tied on there. And boy, you have to hang on to those. I'm reminded right now of Peter, who was in prison. And they're going to cut his head off the next morning. Going to be executed anyway the next morning. And when that angel comes to get Peter out, is he walking the floor and praying and sweating and confessing the word? What was Peter doing? He was sleeping. How could he be in such peace? He had a word from Jesus. He had a word from the Lord. The Lord had already told him, when you're old, certain things are going to happen. Well, he hadn't old yet. That's just a short time has passed. He knows he's not going to die tomorrow. I don't care what the judge says. I don't care what the executioner says. I don't care what was in the Jerusalem Times. Doesn't matter what the paper says. Doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter, because he had his red scarf. And he goes, well, I don't know everything that's going to happen up ahead, but I know I'm going to live to be an old man. So that means they're not going to execute me tomorrow. Well, in this deal, when thoughts would come to me like, okay, this is probably ocular melanoma. Don't get on the internet. Don't get on the internet. You know, and a thought would come, you know, like, okay, this is going to kill you, boy. I had several of these red flag prophecies of things that the Lord has already told me are going to come to pass that have not yet come to pass. And boy, I would hang on to that. I said, nope, can't die with this. It's a glorious end that he has for me. Dying of cancer at age 65 is not a glorious end. Actually, dying of... Anyway. But I knew I wasn't going to die. And that, here again. So by every way, we have access to this mind of Christ. Now I've got another word through Pastor Dave. This is my last bout. My last fight with cancer. Now you think the devil is going to leave that unchallenged. But I already have my word now. Doesn't matter what I see. Oh, one thing. Where's that? Where'd the pictures go to? Right here. Okay. I forgot to say this morning. I want to say it for the viewing audience and you guys too. I'll tell you one thing this illustrates. Don't be moved by what you see. I forgot to say that this morning. Don't be moved by what you see. When the Lord gives you his plan and you start obeying that plan and it gets worse, every week for like 4 weeks before we ever had any kind of turnaround. I mean, every week is worse than the week before. Don't be moved by what you see. Only thing that matters is what did the Lord say. That's the mind of Christ. That's what it's all about. I'm an engineer. I like practical things. I like all of the scientific, I like all of that. But if we can't take all of that and use it when the rubber meets the road. See, it's got to come. That's why I say, look, don't wait until you're attacked by cancer or something else to start confessing his word. Confess it now. Just get it coming. And it's not that he'll heal you because you confessed it. I got to keep him. It's not that. It's not works at all. What happens, what he's fellowshipping with is the change that his word has made on the inside of you. And you become a person that is undevourable because you just can't take the care. The enemy's job is to keep piling it on. Take the care, Gary, take it. No, by his stripes I was healed. He is the Lord that healeth Gary. He blesses my water and blesses my bread and he takes sickness away from the midst of me. I wasn't walking the floor and confessed it. I had already walked the floor and confessed it for years and years. It was bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. It's part of my spirit. And I'm going, just can't worry. Or what's on TV tonight? No, I didn't do that. Actually, I did. Some. Okay, one more. I want you to go to... Let's finish with Psalms 103. And you know we do this all the time. Even in calling in the lost, we do a portion like this where we're talking to our soul. This is so important. See, the enemy, he really has no access to your spirit. He really does not. What he has access to is your soul. Your emotions, the eye gate, the ear gate, all of your physical senses. And he attacks through all of those. Then he uses those things with human wisdom, mixes it with human wisdom, all of the history and what you've seen other people fall to. And he's trying to get you to come to conclusions that do not agree with the mind of Christ. So it's really important. He's the prosecutor. The unjust judge is your soul. And it's called an unjust judge because it will render a decision, righteous or not, in favor of whoever presents the most evidence. Well, that's why you have to remind your soul of God's benefits. And it's easy to forget them, especially when you're in the midst of the trial. So I would just hear this. I didn't get my Bible out during this thing. I did not look up, let me find some healing scriptures. Man, these would just float up because I've got them on the inside of me. I've had them in there for years. And I'd look in that mirror, not pretty, I'd look in that mirror and I would hear, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Sometimes I'd say it out loud, sometimes I wouldn't. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who healeth. Well, when you're right in the middle of this is a good word, who healeth all thy diseases. Thank you. Heals all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Man, that would come floating. Peace would just flood me. I just knew I was going to be okay. Now, was you miserable? I was nauseous, didn't want coffee, didn't want burgers. Michael was trying to get me to review his book. It took me days to read 31 pages. You know, I mean, I just couldn't read hardly at all. No, I was miserable, if you ask me how I felt in the natural, but I was full of peace at the same time. Why? I had his plan. I knew that I was walking out his plan for this particular assignment, and I knew at the end of it I'd be fine. How did you know? It was his plan. I know it was his plan. And look at me now. But like I say, the proof is in the pudding. You come feeling this, where this was so black right here around my eye, that's smooth as a baby's bottom right there, see? This pink skin, purdy. Hallelujah. Did y'all get anything out of that? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pray. We have access to the mind of Christ. You have a spirit that the Holy Ghost can send that knowledge through. And then God has given us the Holy Ghost, which He is God. He already knows the plan. Let us do that. And then once you find His plan, whether it's something in the natural like this or something in the spiritual, already know five kings may come out against you. All kinds of circumstances may come to... Oh, by the way, we had that period of time on the finances. I don't want to leave it like that. We're fine. Right, a few days after that, we got a $5,000 donation. Glory to God. And that's very unusual. Well, in the past, that has been unusual. I want to phrase that correctly. But I just want you to know we're okay. So praise God. Hallelujah.